I'd like to welcome you to Turnkey Dual Boot Clusters, Cluster Core, and Microsoft Present Rocks Hybrid, a simple Windows Linux cluster solution. Now, without further delay, I'd like to turn today's live meeting over to your first presenter, Cam Baker. Cam, you have the floor.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Cam Baker. I'm a partner account manager on the U.S. High Potential ISV Managed Partner Team. Welcome to our webcast featuring Microsoft HPC Managed Partner Cluster Core. This webcast features Cluster Core's ROCs Plus Hybrid, a combination of the commercial version of ROCs Cluster Distribution for Linux and Microsoft Windows HPC Server 2008. The ROCs Plus Hybrid combined with Windows HPC Server 2008 simplifies deploying dual-boot HPC systems that run Linux and Windows natively in a single cluster. Users receive the familiar ease of use and cost efficiency benefits of Windows and a simpler, more automated way to implement powerful clustering capabilities using Windows HPC Server 2008. Now it's my pleasure to introduce Tim McIntyre, President, and Jason Bishop, VP of Engineering for Cluster Corp, and Matt Blythe, Program Manager for Windows HPC Server 2008. Matt?
Hi, everybody. My name is Matt Blythe. I am a Program Manager on the Windows HPC Server 2008 team. I'd like to apologize in advance for the voice. Getting over a bit of a cold here, but hopefully I will be understandable enough for everybody. I'd also like to thank Cluster Corp for doing this presentation with us. We're going to talk about a solution today that's very exciting for Microsoft and for Windows HPC Server 2008. So just to talk briefly about what Microsoft sees as important for high-performance computing and some of the general themes we look at when we are building our solution that hopefully are themes that resonate with you as both users and implementers of high-performance computing. The first theme is making HPC broadly accessible. We want to make sure that it is easier and more accessible today to use high-performance computing than it has been in the past. We accomplish this through several different mechanisms, using more familiar interfaces, as well as leveraging users' familiarity with various Microsoft products and solutions to allow them to access the power of high-performance computing. We also want to be able to accelerate innovation. This involves being able to provide the highest performance capability solutions on multi-core platforms, but also realize that today many environments are heterogeneous. And we use the term heterogeneous in a couple different ways, the first of which being different types of processors, obviously x86-based processors, GPGPU-based systems today, as well as different operating systems, with the realization that not everybody runs one operating system on their cluster hardware today. The other thing is data proliferation. We understand that data is becoming an ever-dominant part of the HPC equation, and the data explosion is dramatically affecting the designs that people are implementing today for high-performance computing solutions. And finally, the ability to control and align costs. We believe that for too long, HPC has sort of existed out on an island on its own, and that there's no reason that today we can't look at ways to begin integrating HPC practices alongside other enterprise IT operations. This allows organizations to leverage the skills of existing IT capabilities, as well as looking at ways to optimize costs across both their enterprise IT systems as well as their HPC systems at the same time. So delving into that theme a little bit more, let's look at today's high-performance computing environment. So typically what you see in an HPC organization, whether it be an academic institution, a government institution, or any number of commercial institutions, is you have a set of users on the left. These are your corporate IT users. They're information workers, if you will, folks that are plugging in to your IT backbone to do things like email, access to print, to access files. And they're using mainstream technologies, technologies that are prevalent all over the place. On the other side of the wall, you have your specialized HPC capabilities. These typically are specialized, possibly hardware, specialized systems, specialized high-speed networking. You have users, which are also information workers, but they have special designation of being scientists, engineers, or perhaps financial analysts that have a special set of needs for the types of applications and IT support they need. And also you have specialized tools. You have specialized compilers, specialized languages, specialized ways of doing things. Obviously, with with the capabilities being bifurcated like this, it's very difficult to look at this holistic problem being able to optimize across both sets of users. And if you can go ahead and advance me into the next animation here. So what Microsoft is focused on is the ability to merge these two capabilities together in lots of ways. We believe that you should be able to take advantage of your go ahead and advance me to the next animation, the combined infrastructure where you can make high-performance computing available to larger sets of IT workers. So instead of having HPC available only to select sets of folks who wear the HPC hat, who know the specific lingo, who know how to access the system, we believe that we can make high-performance computing available to much larger sets of folks within your organization. That's important for a couple different reasons. The first of which being is realizing unmet high-performance computing needs. There are a lot of people within organizations today that believe that high-performance computing is outside their reach, yet deal with problems every day that could be addressed and solved with high-performance computing. These people, typical people, have the Windows and desktop capability and desktop skills. They're familiar with Windows-based paradigms, but they may not be familiar with HPC-based paradigms. Combining these concepts together, we're able to extend their Microsoft-based knowledge to allow them to access HPC systems and HPC capabilities today. This allows for unified development environments for users who are familiar with Excel to work right alongside users who are coding in MPI and C and take advantage of high-performance computing. So just talk a little bit about, on slide 7 here, the momentum that Microsoft has gotten as a result of our initial entrance into the HPC space. We talked about different areas. We talked about performance. We were actually able to reach a top 10 system at Shanghai Supercomputing Center, which proves the scaling capability and the performance of our Windows HPC solution. We didn't want to go about creating a high-performance computing solution forgetting the performance part. I know that's a perception of many folks out there that for some reason Windows needs to be slower than Linux. That's just simply not the case. And as Gordon Bell commented, you know, congratulations on making it to the HPC Club. We take performance very seriously over here. This is one of the top things we think about when we're designing our solution. And I can tell you we wouldn't produce a solution today unless we believe it could be as performant as other x86-based solutions. This is an ISV example here with ANSYS. You know, ANSYS is very happy with the Windows HPC solution that we're providing for a couple reasons. One, it provides them a much easier to use platform for their customers. What they've come to us and said is, hey, you've really lowered the bar for what it takes for our customers to be able to take advantage of HPC-based environments and move off of workstations and onto cluster-based computing. The second thing is actually we're now more performant with several of the ANSYS applications than the equivalent versions on Linux. So not only have we lowered the bar, opened the door to more users to take advantage of parallel-based ANSYS applications, but we've also been able to actually increase their performance and efficiency at the same time. Gartner also commented back in 2008, they realized the potential of Windows HPC Server to open the HPC market to more users. In particular, they said specifically with our 2008 release that you know, Windows HPC is ready to be the sole HPC operating environment or, as we're talking about today, as an alternative, as a side-by-side with Linux. So that's really why we're excited about the solution ClusterCorp is bringing with RocksBus Hybrid is because it provides an easy way to realize this vision Gartner was talking about in terms of running Linux and Windows together in the same cluster, maximizing your users' abilities to use high-performance computing regardless of whether they're Windows users or Linux users. The Wall Street Journal commented about our partnership specifically with Cray that with the CX1 that we're finally providing a solution here that has this to reach this potential growth for growing the HPC market. For a long time, for those of us that have been in HPC for a while, we've always talked about this nirvana of these smaller-based or work group-based clusters or even personal supercomputing clusters. And what the Wall Street Journal was commenting on here is that the ease of use of Windows HPC and the performance of Windows HPC combined with the Cray CX1 system was finally getting us to the point where we could realize that work group-based or even personal supercomputer ideal. Now, we also have one of our customers, Ferrari, who is very interested in performance. This is actually the Ferrari F1 team, who is all about performance in terms of their F1 racing, and they essentially are the epitome of performance. And we went in there and began to work with them on solutions to be able to help them design their F1 cars and make adjustments to their F1 machines actually real-time during races. And what they comment on here is that we can actually rely on Windows HPC Server to provide that performance that we need. And then finally, we were recognized by HPC Wire when we debuted our 2008 solution as the best HPC software product or technology. So moving forward, we currently have our Windows HPC Server 2008, which we released last year. We're getting ready to release Windows HPC Server 2008 R2. This is being released in tangent with Windows Server 2008 R2, since we're based upon the Windows Server 2008 R2 core technologies and kernel. So some themes for what we're doing with the R2 release, or some people hear V3 in common parlance, since it's our third release of an HPC product, obviously we're now built upon Windows Server 2008 R2. We focused for out-of-the-box scaling to 1,000 nodes. And this is a very important distinction from possible other solutions and Microsoft solutions, is when we say out-of-the-box scaling to 1,000 nodes, we truly mean being able to run all of our tools, all of our diagnostics, all the applications and ISVs we work with that claim scaling to that capability, that we provide a platform that can truly scale to 1,000 nodes out of box. Now, for any of you that have been following press, we regularly do top 500 runs and support systems that are much greater than 1,000 nodes. But what we test to and what we sort of certify and put our name behind is this out-of-the-box 1,000-plus node solution. So that means a lot in Microsoft parlance to be able to say we truly support all of our functionality at 1,000 nodes. We really focused in this release on the customizable management capabilities for superior control. We wanted to leverage what we started with the 2008 release in terms of the IT management capability and the control we provide at the management and user level, and we really wanted to continue to expand that capability. Focus on our SOA development. So a popular HPC model that's beginning to emerge today is moving away from your classic batch and parametric-based HPC model and moving to a more user interactive-based model based upon a service-oriented architecture. And so we really focused a lot of effort on building out the SOA capability within this release. Continuing to support and work with our friends in the Visual Studio team. So really beginning to enhance our parallel debugging capability with Visual Studio, and particularly the parallel extensions and the HPC extensions that we're building into .NET. So we are looking at this as a holistic solution, working with .NET and with Visual Studio and with SQL Server and Hyper-V to be able to provide solutions that can be virtualized and provide the tools both on the development side and on the management side to be able to support that. And then also continued support for integration with the overall Microsoft infrastructure. So that largely for us focuses on making sure that our clusters can be managed alongside other Microsoft servers with System Center and other technologies. We're really, really focused on providing the capability to run Windows HPC server clusters in the same data centers that you run your other IT operations and to be able to be managed in the same way. We believe that, for example, when a server has a hard drive failure, regardless if that server is an HPC compute node or an Exchange server, that you ought to be able to leverage and optimize your IT infrastructure practices so that that problem can be treated in the same way. There's no need, in our belief, is to have specialized capability for the HPC nodes. And then finally, a big focus of what we're talking on today is integrating with existing and new Linux environments. We understand the realization of today is that the dominant operating system coming into high-performance computing, an x86 system, is Linux. In no way do we want to disrupt that. We are very much interested in growing the HPC market, and so there's a big focus in attracting users. So there's a big focus on making sure that customers that want to continue to run their Linux environments alongside Windows HPC server environments that we play nicely in those environments and even, you know, help develop and bring to market solutions like we're talking about today with the ROX Plus Hybrid solution. So highlighting a little bit on the systems administration capability in the next release, so you can see there a screenshot of our heat map. But we really want to focus on simple to set up and manage environments in a familiar environment. So this involves turnkey cluster solutions through OEMs like Frey, simplifying systems and application deployment, you know, focused with, you know, on the images, the patches, the drivers, the applications, really making it easy for users and for IT administrators to be able to deploy and set up and get these clusters running in a short period of time. A focus on ease of management, right? We wanted to be able to extend our diagnostic and troubleshooting capability. We wanted to continue to expand our sort of unique pivot management interface where no matter where you're at, you can sort of pivot to a set of functions that are relevant for what you happen to be looking at, whether if you're zooming in on a node or you're looking at different diagnostics or management, really making it easier for the user to do that. And the scale-up was a big theme we talked about earlier, too, which is if we're going to provide the capability and state that we're able to deploy systems that scale up to 1,000 nodes, we really need to make sure that all of our management tools really scale to that capability also. And then also we realize that things like we need head node failover because when you're running systems that are that large, they're oftentimes mission critical, and you'd hate to have 1,000 nodes go idle or go down because you happen to lose one node, one specialized node, which is your head node. So we have this capability of running these parallel head nodes together so that in the event your head node fails, jobs continue to run normally, no jobs get interrupted, people can continue to access the cluster and the managed job scheduler, and you continue to keep your expensive investment, which is these 1,000 nodes, up and running well. And then also compute node filtering. We realize that you need to look at different kinds of nodes when you're running clusters that big. Finally, we again focused on the better integration with enterprise management. So we now have integrated patch management. So again, if you happen to be patching a web server, an Exchange server, or your head node or compute nodes, you can do your patch management across all of your enterprise infrastructure. We continue to extend our systems integration. We have deep PowerShell integration. So for those users that are familiar with command line-based interfaces, you know, Bash or whatever your favorite shell happens to be, if you haven't seen PowerShell, I really encourage you to take a look at what we've done with PowerShell. You know, there hasn't been a whole lot of active development on the Linux side of the house. In terms of shells, Microsoft has been very much actively pushing the capability of what you can do with a shell. You know, it's my opinion that if you stand up PowerShell next to any Linux-based shell today, that you're going to be surprised with the capabilities that are available today. And then also focusing on high availability, as we talked about, making sure that we can stay up and running, particularly when you're talking about investments as large as a few thousand nodes. So moving into the theme today, we want to talk a little bit about interoperability. What's the need today? So this little pie chart might show you what your demand for high performance computing probably looks like today in your average infrastructure. But what's happening that's starting to change that demand is Windows is bringing a whole new category of apps on HPC server. There are lots of ISVs that are out there starting to realize they can now develop parallel applications that can scale in parallel. As you're aware, you know, Intel and AMD aren't really helping out too much in terms of cranking up the clock speeds to continue to increase in performance. They're relying upon parallelism to be able to do that. So as these application vendors begin to have to parallelize their applications in order to keep performance increasing, they're realizing that they're now able to actually maybe scale these out past a single node and onto compute nodes as well. This is where there are different horizontal applications that are beginning to take advantage of the cluster-based model, where you're seeing a lot of applications migrating just from Windows workstations to the cluster-based environment. And also, major traditional high-performance computing ISVs and applications continue to develop enhanced versions on Windows. A lot of classic HPC ISVs are very excited about the Windows platform because we provide a standard, common environment for them to develop on that they know they can count on to be reliable and to be the same across every environment that we deploy in, whereas in the Linux side of the house, you see typically lots of different flavors of kernel versions, lots of different patches that people might have applied, lots of different their favorite tools they happen to use. This is actually a nightmare for many HPC ISVs because that really slows their development time and time to market because they have to test so many different flavors and variations of their application. So in the future, what we see is we believe that Windows is going to help grow the HPC market. As I said before, we're really not interested in cannibalizing the existing HPC space. We really want to reach out and expand what HPC can do within your organization, and we don't want you to have to face either-or decisions to be able to do that. So instead of changing the shape of the pie, what we really want to do is grow the overall pie and allow your Windows environment to scale as demand grows, which is why we're really excited about this partnership with ClusterCorp, because it enables these flexible-based clusters. When you introduce Windows HPC in your environment, and as the Windows HPC demand grows over time, you have a flexible environment set up that's able to respond to the needs of your particular users and your organizations. So by setting up this up front, your Windows demand and Linux demand changes over time, you're already equipped and enabled to be able to respond to that demand based upon what your users need. This can be done through policies and different SLAs that determine your OS mix at any given point in time. Applications can still directly talk to the Windows HPC job scheduler or the Linux-based job scheduler. You can still use all the great tools we talked about in terms of managing your cluster on the Windows side, the troubleshooting stuff on the Windows side, the diagnostics on the Windows side. All that continues to work, but through partnership with ClusterCorp and the Rocks Plus Hybrid solution, your environment is now set up and ready to respond to the increasing Windows HPC demand over time. As you can see here, that may change, and that time slice might be day-to-day for you, it might be hour-to-hour for you, it might be week-to-week for you on how this demand is going to change, but the solution of Windows HPC Server with the Rocks Plus Hybrid allows you the flexibility and makes your cluster dynamic to be able to respond directly to the needs of your users at any given point in time. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Tim McIntyre, who's going to talk a little bit more in detail about what the Rocks Plus Hybrid solution looks like.
Thanks, Matt. My name is Tim McIntyre. I'm the president and co-founder of ClusterCorp. We appreciate everybody taking the time out this morning to participate in our webinar on Rocks Plus Hybrid. So who is ClusterCorp and what is Rocks? ClusterCorp is the commercial entity behind the Rocks Cluster Distribution. We focus on providing software support and services for clusters of all types. ClusterCorp was founded by the developers as a leading open source cluster distribution, ROCS. ROCS was developed at the San Diego Supercomputer Center. The development started in about 2000, and it quickly thereafter became the dominant Linux cluster distribution by accomplishing our stated goal to make clusters easy. There are 10 years of development behind the project now. Over 10,000 ROCS clusters worldwide. Many industry folks today refer to it as the de facto standard in building and maintaining Linux clusters. I'd encourage everybody to visit rocksclusters.org to learn more about the open source project. There's a great discussion list there with thousands of active members, good documentation, and free downloads to the open source components. Founding members of ClusterCorp are shared with the founding members of the open source distribution. There's great harmony between the two organizations. The leaders behind the Linux cluster community are a core part of what makes ClusterCorp who it is. We're excited to provide the commercial version of ROCS, which we call ROCS Plus. ROCS Plus is similar to the open source distribution that has a number of great commercial value adds layered on top. There are solutions from Intel, the Intel compiler role, Portland Group, the PGI role. ClusterCorp maintains the OFED stack inside of ROCS for InfiniBand support, and a number of other solutions with ISVs that we work closely with. Workload managers are also one of our big value adds. We partner with Cluster Resources on the Moab role, Platform Computing on the LSF role, and also support the Sun Grid Engine role and Torque role. We're proud of our support team. Your ROCKS Plus license includes quick access to our developers. You go directly to level 2 and level 3 support. The people that help you solve your problems on your cluster are the same people developing the solutions that are inside of ROCKS Plus. This is a typical HPC stack. All of these components are shared in just about any cluster distribution or any cluster methodology that you've used to go to market or build your custom system. The OS components could be Linux, Unix, Windows. There are a number of different HPC device drivers you may include for interconnects and storage. Everybody has some cluster software management in the middle, job scheduling software, the message passing layer, and finally your own custom codes. Normally, each of these components are disparate. They come from different places and have their own install step. One of the unique things about ROCKS is that we tie everything together into a single holistic distribution, yet we remain modular. Each of these bubbles represent ROCKS roles, which can be pulled into or pushed out of the solution. So every time you deploy a cluster with ROCKS Plus, it's configured the way you defined it. You can use roles to build anything from a traditional compute cluster to a visualization cluster to something new and exciting like a Hadoop cluster. We also leverage roles to build the hybrid solution with Microsoft. As you can imagine, with a solution that's so easy to use and so easy to deploy, hardware vendors are really excited. ClusterCorp has joined forces with a number of great hardware vendors who ship turnkey cluster solutions with ROCKS Plus, Dell, Cray, Apro, Silicon Mechanics. Each of the hardware vendors with arrows here are selling complete clusters with ROCKS Plus pre-installed, and we do a lot of certification work with Intel and Supermicro to ensure that all the major boards and chipsets are supported as a part of ROCKS Plus. So how were clusters built before ROCKS? Whether it came from a hardware vendor as a product or whether you built it in your own lab, the installation step was the same. The three clusters on the bottom are different types of clusters, but you'll see they each have the same step-by-step process for build and configuration. We lay down Linux or some other operating system as our first step. This is a people-intensive process. Device drivers is the next step. Then we add our cluster middleware. On top, we add load management, which is another complex configuration step in a typical cluster distribution. Then we add our libraries and APIs. This may be your message passing environment in a compute cluster or your cloud services in a private cloud. Then finally, you add the software that actually runs your user's code. On the left, on the red, we built an HPC cluster. In the middle, we've built a cluster in a data center running a customer's custom stack. And in the right, we've built a data center cluster. This is contrasted by ROCKS Plus in that a single DVD is used to deploy the entire stack. So we have the same three clusters at the bottom of this diagram, single step solution. ROCKS holistic environment is used to deploy an HPC stack. A custom stack, since users can build their own roles, or on the right, a DB cluster. This could be running MySQL or Postgres or some parallel database solution. All of these can be deployed just as easily by leveraging ROCKS Plus. So how does this relate to the hybrid solution? ROCKS is holistic, yet it remains modular. Since roles allow us to substitute core components of the stack, we can take the OS portion of this diagram and replace it with a Linux role and a Windows hybrid role. So now again, we have a holistic distribution that was built with modular components that has allowed us to build a hybrid cluster with the same single-step, simple install process that we're used to in any other ROCKS cluster. That was the core goal behind this project, to take the same paradigms that our community is used to, single-step installation of the head node, push-button-free installation of compute nodes, but get a hybrid solution that lays down a Linux partition, installs the complete Linux HPC stack, lays down a Windows partition, installs the complete Windows HPC stack, and then boots the compute nodes ready to run jobs without the user doing a thing. We are excited that we got there. At this point, I'm going to hand over to Jason Bishop, who's ClusterCorp's VP of Engineering and was the principal architect behind this solution. After Jason's done, I will give a quick overview of how Rocks Plus Hybrid is procured, and then we'll drop into a Q&A session. Thanks a lot, and with that, I will hand to Jason Bishop.
Thank you, Tim. Hello, my name is Jason Bishop, and I am VP of Engineering at ClusterCorp. I will describe what the installation of a Rocks Plus Hybrid cluster might look like. We will begin with a cluster composed of two bare metal head nodes, as pictured at the bottom, a number of bare metal compute nodes, which are configured for network boot, and all connected via a gigabit Ethernet network. Installation begins by booting one of the head nodes with a Rocks Plus DVD. Follow the usual installation steps for a Rocks Plus mobile cluster with one addition, selecting the hybrid role. The hybrid role contains all the software and configuration to turn a Rocks Plus cluster into a hybrid cluster. We will begin The hybrid role contains all of the software configuration to turn a Rocks Plus cluster into a hybrid cluster. We will then enter the IP address and the Windows head node and the compute node administrator password and the public and private keys for MOAB CCS Meeting, which is used by MOAB for authentication between services running on the Rocks Plus and Windows head nodes. Also enter the Windows domain name to be used by the Windows HPC Server 2008 head node. Click Next, and the installation process will begin. This will generally take 30 minutes or so, and the head node will reboot automatically and come online when the install is done. As you can see here, our cluster has a provisioned Rocks Plus head node. We will now move to the Windows HPC Server 2008 head node. Boot and install your Windows head node according to the usual install steps and best practices for a Windows HPC cluster. We've provided an example walkthrough of the entire install process in the Rocks Plus Hybrid User's Guide, which is available from the homepage on your Rocks Plus head node. Install the Windows HPC pack. Install the ClusterCorp Hybrid software, giving the IP address of the Rocks Plus head node. We will install the Cluster Resources CCS Wiki software, as this is a Rocks Plus MOAB cluster. This is an optional step which can be skipped if not using MOAB for job scheduling. We now have fully provisioned Rocks Plus and Windows HPC Server 2008 head nodes. The next step is to add our compute nodes. Rocks Plus uses the command insert ethers for node discovery. Here, we run insert ethers and select the hybrid appliance. As each node is powered on and begins the network boot process, it will be discovered, its MAC address will be shown, and it will be assigned a hybrid compute node name. It is then added to the list of nodes discovered so far. Each node is added to the Rocks database, and provisioning begins automatically. A few seconds after the nodes are discovered by the Rocks Plus head node, they are automatically added to the Windows head node. You can watch this list grow as nodes are powered on. Looking at the cluster as a whole, all the hybrid compute nodes are being provisioned with Linux. As each node finishes the Linux install, it will reboot and will automatically begin Windows provisioning by turning control over to the Windows head node. The node will be installed according to the same process as a standard Windows compute node using the NTFS partition allocated during the Rocks Plus provisioning stage.
Once the node is provisioned with Windows, it will automatically reboot into Linux and be ready to run jobs. Since this is a Rocks Plus Moab hybrid cluster, we can use the msub command to submit a job to Moab, instructing that we need 5 Windows hybrid nodes. As all hybrid compute nodes are currently booted into Linux, Moab will coordinate with the Windows head node to reboot 5 compute nodes into Windows and wait for them to come online so they are ready to run jobs. Once all 5 nodes are online, the Windows head node launches the job, same as a typical Windows HPC Server 2008 cluster. It's that simple. And with that, I'll turn back over to Tim.
Thanks, Jason. It's great how simple that is. That was really the goal of the project, was to make running a hybrid cluster as easy as running a native Windows cluster or a native Rocks Plus cluster. So I'm going to touch quickly on how you can purchase and deploy a hybrid cluster using Rocks Plus and Windows HPC Server 2008, and then we will dive into Q&A. Rocks Plus hybrid licenses come from Cluster Corp. There's an MSRP of $299 per node. Rocks Plus hybrid can be purchased direct from Cluster Corp or from Cluster Corp's long list of hardware resellers, which we referred to in the earlier slide. You can find more information on this at clustercorp.com/hardware. Windows licenses are purchased separately from Microsoft or Microsoft resellers. You can learn more at microsoft.com/HPC. And optionally, you can add Red Hat licenses to your cluster as well. If you want to learn more specifically about the hybrid solution, there is a lot of good information right now up at windows.com/HPC, and there is a page at clustercorp.com/rocksplus/hybrid, which will continue to be the homepage for the joint solution. With that, I will turn over to Cam Baker, who is going to lead the Q&A and discuss a couple upcoming events. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Before we get to the questions, our call to action. For more information on Rocks Plus Hybrid, you can visit the Cluster Corp site. The link is in the slide. Also, visit Cluster Corp and Windows and see Windows HPC Server 2008 at the Supercomputing 09 show in Portland, Oregon on November 15th through 20th. You can visit Cluster Corp at booth 238, see a presentation in the Microsoft booth at booth 1135, and Cluster Corp will be hosting a dinner the evening of November 18th between 7 and 9 p.m. Again, you can see a live demo in booth 238. Okay, now for questions. You can type in the, if you have the Q&A panel, I'll let Adam go ahead and describe questions, and we'll take them in shortly.
Thanks, Kim. Just a reminder, you can click the Q&A button to display the pane. Just type your question into the field next to the Ask button, and then click Ask. Thank you. Back to you, Kim.
Thank you. We have first question is, what advantages do I get from using Rocks Plus to build a hybrid cluster versus using another solution? And that question is directed at Tim.
Most other hybrid solutions that people have used in the past are similar in process to how people were building HPC clusters in the late 90s and the early 2000s. They're hands-on manual processes. You would normally set up the Windows nodes using Microsoft's process. Then separately, you would create your own dual boot partitions, your own boot tables, add Linux as a step-by-step process on each compute node, either using an imaging process or something else that was homegrown. These clusters typically took weeks to deploy. Rocks Plus Hybrid was designed to turn hybrid clusters into a product. We typically build a hybrid cluster in under a couple hours, no matter what the size is. We've automated the process to give people the same user experience they expect if they were deploying a standard cluster.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. There's a question from Matt. Matt, in the past, Windows HPC hasn't had the same performance as Linux. Has that changed?
Hey, Cam, thanks. Yeah, this is a question we get quite often, and that's, I think, largely because our version one of our product definitely had some performance limitations based upon the fact that it was designed on top of Windows Server 2003. With the advent of version 2 of our product, or Windows HPC Server 2008, we were able to actually raise the performance capability to most cases in head-to-head comparisons with applications that have been ported equally to Linux and Windows to as good or better performance, particularly one of the areas we've been focusing on, obviously, because it's the metric used for the PAP 500, is Linpack, and just being able to show and demonstrate that when effort is put on tuning an application for Windows HPC environments, that we can actually equal and in some cases even exceed the performance on the most highly tuned versions available on Linux today. So that's a short way of saying that certainly with version 2 of our product, we have pulled equal to Linux for applications that have been built for Windows HPC Server, and version 3 of our product really focused on and continued performance improvements, with the hope being that performance limitations will never be a reason that users can't take advantage of many of the other things we bring to the table with the Windows HPC Server capability. That was one of the first pieces of feedback we got when we entered into the market. We took that feedback very seriously, even establishing a performance lab here in Redmond, Seattle, where different users and ISVs can actually bring their applications in and work with our performance team over here to make sure that they are tuned and exploit all the advantages of the Windows Server environment. And the results have been often very good. Probably the most shining example of this has been the Ansys Fluent application, which came in to the performance lab running slightly performance worse than Linux, and by the time they'd spent a week here, performance was exceeding Linux by 20% in some cases. So the platform itself is very capable of running very performant-based solutions, and we continue to work with ISVs every week to improve their performance of their codes running on these environments.
Thank you. Okay, we have another question. It says, I'm using MSWin 2008 Enterprise Server with Hyper-V. How does ClusterCorp, or how can ClusterCorp, decrease? I think they meant increase my network.
I'll attempt to address that. And Eric, if I don't hit on what you meant, can you submit a follow-up question after I'm done? ROX Plus Hybrid is a native solution. We're not using virtualization to enable hybrid. So you're running both Windows and Linux in their native environment on separate partitions. So this is a dual boot solution, more akin to boot camp than a virtualization solution using Hyper-V. If you meant something beyond that, please send a follow-up, and I'd be glad to elaborate.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Okay, next question is, when jobs are submitted, how are the user sign-on and credential handled across Linux and Windows?
If jobs are submitted through MOAB, they use the MOAB public and private key to seamlessly submit a job that can run in either the Windows or Linux environment. If you submit a job directly to the Windows scheduler, you're using your Windows credentials. If you send a job directly through a Linux scheduler, you're using your Linux credentials. In a future version of ROX Plus Hybrid, we plan on doing additional work to synchronize user accounts across the two operating systems.
Okay, thank you. Another question, does ROX Plus support the Windows scheduler?
A little bit along the same lines. There are two different ways of submitting jobs. I'll give an example with MOAB and without MOAB. If you submit a job through MOAB, MOAB is aware of the resource manager that resides on the Linux partition and the resource manager or Windows workload manager on the Windows partition. So when you submit through MOAB, it's seamless and will go directly into the Windows workload manager. if you're running a hybrid cluster without Moab, you would submit Windows jobs to the Windows scheduler and Rocks jobs through the Linux scheduler.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. A question for you, Matt. Do you have integration with SharePoint, and how does that work?
Yeah, actually, that's SharePoint's obviously one of the most popular products Microsoft is shipping today, and we wanted to make sure we leveraged that integration. So we do have web parts available today, and we'll be actually demonstrating those at Supercomputing that allow you to interoperate and submit jobs and monitor job capability through SharePoint portals. This is particularly interesting when you start talking about actually the life cycle of data as it moves through different phases of exploration within an environment. So you can integrate actually workflows directly with HPC processes inside SharePoint. So you can create standard workflows where maybe one group of users actually generates and creates some data, another group of users actually manipulates or examines that data within the HPC process, and then provides the data to perhaps another group of users, which are maybe the analysts that actually take the manipulated or processed data and then actually take action or look at them or visualize them in different ways. One area where we've seen a lot of interest in this workflow management up front has been in the oil and gas space. Data in oil and gas moves through very defined states as it comes through exploration, through manipulation and transformation, and then on to analysis. And you can actually build all of those workflows inside SharePoint with all the document management and the HPC, with the HPC web parts. The HPC portion is directly integrated into the workflow. We're going to continue to drive that deep integration because we imagine one day that the majority of high-performance computing is actually going to be accomplished in these workflow-based scenarios as opposed to sort of one-off job submissions, you know, to job schedulers. What's actually going to happen is most folks, most users, aren't even going to be aware of the job submission, if you will, process, but they'll just be understanding that the data that they need goes through certain transformations utilizing high-performance computing resources, but that's all a part of a larger workflow that may live within SharePoint, for example.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Next question is, I have a Linux cluster now, and I'd like to try Windows. Do I have to reinstall my cluster? That's directed at Tim.
Yes. The hybrid install requires a bare metal deployment. And the central ROCs management paradigm is to treat the data on compute nodes as scratch. So by design, in control of the disks on your cluster completely over to ROCs and to Windows HPC Server 2008, which gives you the ability to run this seamless push button install that's an important part of ROCs.
Okay. Thank you. Another question, do both head nodes run simultaneously?
Yeah, that was another important goal in this project. In other dual boot solutions that people had started to toy with in the past, you usually had a dual boot head node and dual boot compute nodes. There are a couple problems there. One, users had to use the interface of the head node that was currently booted, so users couldn't always go into an interface that they're comfortable with. Two, that type of paradigm requires a complete boot of Windows or complete boot of Linux across the entire cluster. Since we have both head nodes running at once, which was a bit tricky to set up, I'll talk about more about that in a minute, that allows you to have a mix of Linux compute nodes and Windows compute nodes running at any given time. You could have your cluster running 80% Linux, 20% Windows, and then flip it to 60% Windows, 40% Linux on the fly, all while allowing your user community to come in through the environment and the workflow that they typically use.
Great. Okay, we've got another question. What version of Linux does ROCs Plus use?
ROCs Plus runs with any Red Hat-like version of Linux, and that means Red Hat Enterprise Linux, CentOS, or Scientific Linux. We use CentOS by default. Red Hat licenses can be procured separately. A number of our users do that. We are currently based on Red Hat Enterprise Linux 5.3. and have a release coming out shortly that will add support for 5.4.
Great. Thank you, Tim. I have another question directed at Matt. What sorts of development tools are available to help us build Windows HPC applications?
Right. So that's actually a really good question. So as I mentioned in the presentation a bit, we are working very closely with our brethren on the Visual Studio team. And we actually have an entire organization that lives within Visual Studio called the Parallel Compute Platform Team. This is a team that was founded with the realization that processors aren't getting any faster today, that again, we're exploiting performance increases through parallelization, and that if somebody doesn't provide tools to help people create applications that can run in parallel environments, that we're not going to see, continue to see, and to be able to reap the benefits of increased power within computing. So this parallel team working within Visual Studio has begun, and in our Visual Studio 10, you see the first sets of tools we're releasing to help people write applications that are inherently parallel, that can be debugged and within parallel environments, both within multi-core environments and multi-socket environments within a single node, as well as expanding that capability out to multi-core and multi-socket machines and within clusters as well. So the ability to do event synchronization, to find out what's happening within clusters, to be able to do parallel debugging, these are the types of tools that we've released today with Visual Studio 10, and we'll continue to focus on integration with the Windows HPC server environment going forward. There is really nobody else out there that is looking at this problem holistically, all the way from the creation of code through the execution running of the code within a cluster-based environment. And because Microsoft is in the unique position to both produce the development tools on the front side of the process, as well as the management and HPC tools on the actual execution side of the process, we're in a unique position to provide solutions that will help users develop for these parallel environments and continue to exploit the performance advantages of parallelism going forward.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Okay, we have one more question for Tim. It says, can I run some of my nodes in Linux and some in Windows at the same time, or do I have to flip the entire cluster at once?
Yeah, you can run nodes in some Linux, some Windows. All Linux, that was a very important part of the design paradigm when we went into building the architecture of this system. You can either do those flips through your workload manager, or you can do them through the ROCKS command line.
Okay, thank you. And the last question for Jason, do all of my nodes sit on the same subnet? If so, which of the two head nodes handles services like DHCP?
Yes, all the nodes do sit on the same subnet, and the ROCKS head node performs the DHCP service. This is enabled because of the tight integration for the definition of your compute nodes between both head nodes, meaning the node name, the IP address, the MAC address, et cetera, are coordinated between the head nodes, so the view of the cluster is exactly the same between those two.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jason. Any other questions? If not, I think we're at the end of our time, so I will say thank you for attending today. Thank you to the fellows from ClusterCorp, Tim and Jason, and to Matt Blythe, and appreciate you, everyone that attended. Really appreciate your showing up. Adam?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's live meeting. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect.